Hey everyone, and welcome again to The White Flag, a podcast about surrendering to Jesus in our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. I'm your host, Jonathan Moynihan, coming to you from right outside of Baltimore, Maryland, and today we're going to take a couple minutes to discuss some real practical tools and tricks and trends that help me constantly fall back into this posture of surrender, especially when I'm navigating seasons of transition, or just those times when everything in my spirit doesn't want to really adopt these practices. And much of this is birthed from conversations I've had with you, listeners, people contacting me, and even friends of mine who are having new kids or starting new jobs and just trying to figure out, in those moments when I find a new normal being established, what are some ways that I can jolt myself back into faithfulness with Jesus and in His Word so that no matter what new transitions come my way, I know that I'm going to have a baseline of faithfulness as I continually adopt the posture of surrender that the show is all about. I got to give a shout out real quick to one of our listeners named Jesse. He is from North Carolina, and he's been a listener since day one, but he reached out to me a couple weeks ago and said, John, can we please do an episode about spiritual rhythms in seasons of transition? And shout out to Jesse because, one, that's a great thing to dive into, but two, you just had a baby girl. Congratulations, man. I know that's really exciting, and I am tender for you as you navigate that crazy season of not sleeping, but loving something more than you've ever loved something. And yeah, so much of this is birthed out of those transitions that I've navigated with my kids, but also because I know so many of you are going into those seasons of transition. And this is just hopefully really, really helpful. So today's episode is called Five Tools I Use to Surrender. And these are going to be really practical things. Again, I'm not going to try to position myself as the expert here. These are all things I've learned from people much wiser and smarter than myself. But these are really practical tools that you could put into practice like today to help you jolt yourself back into, you know, the rhythmic apprenticeship to Jesus and modeling the things that He did throughout Scripture that help us experience the presence of God and help us be more present with Him. Because let's be honest, 2020 was a lot of things. It was an exposer, it was a disruptor, but one of the things that it exposed, as I continually think about it, and sort of the ramifications of that year continue to bleed out into 2021 and beyond, one of the things that I'm being reminded of, I think this was already true, but we're being reminded of this, is that in moments of chaos and transition and disruption, the first thing to go is oftentimes our rhythms and our routines and our disciplines, because it's a new normal that's making crazy new demands of our life. But in moments of chaos and transition, the rhythms and disciplines that keep us steady are the things we need to cling to the most, but so often they're the first thing to go when stuff goes sideways. So my hope is, as we dive into these five practical tools I use to surrender, these would be things that you can kind of have in your spiritual tool belt so that when chaos and transition do arise, you've got something to grab onto to fall back into these disciplines and rhythms, because inevitably it's going to happen to all of us. So this episode especially is for people who are navigating transition. It's for people who want to increase their consistency. They find themselves being really high and low when it comes to these disciplines. I've been there. And this is really for someone who just wants to build momentum in a single direction as you hone in your spiritual disciplines. Maybe just add a practice or add a rhythm or a tool to help provide some additional depth and richness in your time with God. And so I'm going to offer these five tools that I use that have helped me fall back into a posture of surrender. And this is really good, especially when my life and my mind and my schedule or my soul starts to go sideways and I feel like I'm everywhere but nowhere all at the same time. And a lot of these things are fresh for me because they were developed and honed coming out of the birth of my son, Indiana, just 12, 13 weeks ago. So this stuff is very, very fresh. But here are five tools I use that help me fall back into a posture of surrender, especially in seasons of transition. Number one is silence. Just start with silence. And I know you're going to be like, John, you talk about that all the time. It doesn't really feel like a practical tool. No, listen, hear me out. When I find myself not where I want to be in my spiritual disciplines, like after Indiana was born, when Indy was born, the only constants in my life were not sleeping, eating poorly, having ice cream every night and making myself an old fashioned every night. Like, that was pretty much the depth of my rhythms at that time. I don't think I journaled or reflected on God's word for like the 3 to 4 weeks he was born, because we had two toddlers and a newborn. It was crazy. But coming out of that season, what I discovered is that making it a discipline to have even just 3 to 5 minutes of silent time, where I'm not trying to be productive, I'm not trying to read the Bible or even journal, just jolting myself into those 3 to 5 minutes of silence, it showed how beneficial that time could be in such a short amount of time. And then it made me long to do the work to re-enter those spiritual disciplines again, coming out of the chaos of our newborn stage. Dr. Charity, the trauma therapist that I interviewed a couple weeks ago, she even highlighted that our brains are conditioned for anxiety. And they are revved up and pent up, constantly working and running and resolving and calculating. But silence, I mean, she prescribes it as a clinical psychologist, as a way to help the mind and the soul come to be at rest. And so if you are someone coming out of a transition or looking to be more consistent, I cannot emphasize enough the virtue and power of just choosing to start with, okay, I don't even know, I'm not happy with my spiritual disciplines right now, but the first thing I'd encourage you to do is just sit and be still for 3 minutes of absolute silence, where you get to rest and be still and have the chaos of who you are and all the distractions and all the things that cling for your identity, to let them go at war within yourself before the presence of God. You're kind of praying, but not really. But it's a time where you just get quiet. Here's how Henry Nouwen puts it in his masterpiece of a book called The Way of the Heart. I'm just going to read to you a couple excerpts from his portion on silence. Henry Nouwen writes, "Wherever we go, we are surrounded by words. Words softly whispered, loudly proclaimed, or angrily screamed. Words spoken, recited, or sung. Words on records and books, on walls, or in the sky. Words in many sounds, many colors, and many forms. Words to be heard, read, seen, or glanced at. Words which flicker off and on, move slowly, dance, jump, or wiggle. Words, words, words. They form the floor, the walls, in the ceiling of our existence." And he says, because of this saturation of words, he says, the result of this is that the main function of the word, which is communication, is no longer realized. The word no longer communicates, no longer fosters communion, no longer creates community, and therefore no longer gives life. The word no longer offers trustworthy ground on which people can meet each other and build society. He says, often it seems that we who study or teach theology find ourselves entangled in such a complex network of discussions, debates, and arguments about God and God issues that a simple conversation with God or a simple presence to God has become practically impossible. Our heightened verbal ability, which enables us to make many distinctions, has sometimes become a poor substitute for a single-minded commitment to the Word, who is life. If there is a crisis in theological education and formation, it is first and foremost a crisis of the Word. And then he ends by saying, the Word of God is born out of eternal silence of God. And it is the Word out of silence that we want to be witnesses. The whole gist of this is that we are just inundated with messaging. And perhaps the most single powerful way that you can connect with the Word of God, not just the scriptures, but with Jesus, the Word, as it says in John 1. The best way to do that is to take words out of the equation and just be still and silent with God. That is your first practice, your first little hack to get back into these rhythms of surrender in the midst of transition. And I know that 3 minutes might sound like a lot to a mother with a newborn. That is true. But that could mean just right when you put them down to nap, before you jump to your phone or make yourself another cup of coffee, you slowly breathe and just say, God, this is all I have today. This is all I have the capacity to do, but I'm going to sit and be silent and still for 3 minutes. And just from that place, see God stir something within you that can help you then do the work to lean into further disciplines as your margin allows. So that's practical tool number one. I use silence to jolt and hack myself back into these disciplines when I feel myself going sideways. Practical tool number two is Lectio 365. You've heard Chuck Mingo and I talk about this, but Lectio 365 is an app on your phone that has become a must-have tool for me when it comes to spiritual formation, especially since my son was born. Because I used it a little bit before Indiana came, but it wasn't until my margins got razor thin in the morning for time with God that it became an even more important aspect of connecting and resting in the presence of God. Now, I know some of you who listen are going to be like, John, I can't believe you're telling me to get my phone out during my time with God. Yes, I know. Listen, it's the only thing I'll use my phone for in the morning. But Lectio 365 has just proven to be such an added value to my life and my prayer life and even my awareness of God in the morning. I could not recommend it enough. It's developed by the 24/7 Prayer Network and this guy, Peter Gregg, who founded the network and has a great book on prayer, several great books on prayer. But Lectio 365 is essentially very short guided times of meditation where they give you a scripture and a theme or even a person's life of faith to reflect on. And then there's some music in the background and they have these amazing people with beautiful voices who kind of narrate the scriptures and walk you through that time of meditation. I mean, for example, just listen to this guy pray through a Sabbath prayer.
May the gravity of material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed me and His Spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Amen.
I mean, come on. It's amazing. It just draws me into the presence of God. I think God talks like that. Like I can't imagine He sounds like me. Anyway, the truth is oftentimes being silent for a few minutes is what I do to start my time with God. But then doing the Lectio 365 guided prayer that takes 6 to 10 minutes, that's all I have time for in the morning sometimes. Sometimes I oversleep and that's all I have time for. My kids wake up and that's all I have time for. But doing the Lectio 365 prayer time and reflection time in the morning is probably my single favorite addition of spiritual practices that I've adopted in 2021. I cannot stress this enough. I'd encourage you to download it today. I don't make any money on this. They don't know me. I'm not connected with them. I just think this is such a helpful practice. And what the Lectio app really does, and I'm using their language, but it helps you recenter yourself. It helps you restory your day with God, and it helps you calm your scattered senses in just 6 to 10 minutes. And what I find to be true is that after a quality time with the app, it then launches me into a longer and deeper time with God, because once I've put down all of the urges to perform and go get things done, I realize there is more margin than I initially thought. So Lectio 365, great app. You can download it today. I'll use some photos in the episode, so in a link to it in the show notes as well. Tool number three is journaling your emotional check-ins. Journaling gets a bad rap because some people kind of project that you have to be a certain personality type to journal, or you have to be someone who loves processing your emotions externally or writing things out. And, you know, that could be true. I've done that before. But the truth is, for me, journaling is a tool that I really use to do two things. One, I use it primarily to jot down all the things that pop into my head that don't belong at the table with God, not because they're sinful, but that they're work or other, you know, adulting type things I have to do. But journaling is where things that don't belong at the table with God, I write them down on my journal and just set them aside as a way to say, God, this came up. I'm going to put this down so I can stay focused on you, but I'm also going to make a note because I need to remember this later, whether it's like paying a mortgage or scheduling an appointment for my kids or something like that. So Dr. Charity talked about this in her episode of giving yourself permission to bring things to God that are distractions and then removing them so that they're not roadblocks, but knowing that they're being kept somewhere. So I use journaling to do that. And the second thing I use journaling for, is I use it to do emotional check-ins. Now, we did a whole episode on this of guided emotional check-ins about sad, angry, scared, happy, excited, tender, those six primary emotions. But every day when I step into my solitude with God, if you were to look at my journal, it would just say the date, it'd say the word solitude, and you would see 2, 3, 4, 5 of those 6 primary emotions, and then like a phrase or two next to each one about what I feel. And I use journaling as a way to hone my attention with my ADD tendencies. And so after being silent with God, even before I do Lectio, I will just write down, what am I feeling today? You know, do I feel anger in my chest? Do I feel fear in my gut? Do I feel at peace? Am I happy? And I just write down what I feel. And then I explore with God, why do I feel that, for just a few minutes. And then I'll just jot that down. And guys, that's literally all my journaling is. But I think lowering the bar of what journaling is and not trying to be this deep contemplative, you know, literary writer or something in your own personal journal, just using it as a tool, I think could be a really helpful hack as we try to fall back into these practices of surrender when we navigate transition. I think of my friends with kids, and it's like, if you just give yourself permission for journaling to be a dumping ground for your distractions and a place to emotionally check in with God, and you can reflect back and see what you've done over the last couple of weeks, that's going to be a formative way for you to take steps toward Jesus in our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. So I just think journaling is a great resource. It becomes something that draws you in with God because you're including him in your emotions and you're including him in the things that you might feel bad about, the things that distract you. So journaling is a great tool. That's number three. Number four is using instrumental music that stirs your spirit. That's my fourth tool, is using instrumental music from time to time. You may not be a musical person, and that's fine. And I try not to use music too often because silence just exposes so much of the soul. But on Wednesday mornings, for example, there are planes flying overhead because I live right by an international airport. And our garbage truck comes by at like 6 a.m. And sometimes I just need some backup. I just need some help stepping into the presence of God with my full self. And so instrumental music is a great way to kind of set the atmosphere of my heart and my soul that just gets me ready to pray and be willing to be still for a while. Two artists that I come back to a lot when I'm trying to set this atmosphere of my heart are number one, William Augusto. And then another one is this group called the Young Collective. They both produce instrumental albums, and they're biblical, they're Christian artists, but they just tend to unlock something within me when I listen to their songs. It provides a calming presence that kind of calls me back to this place of being centered. And I have to be careful because sometimes music becomes a cheat code that just automatically makes me feel like I'm close with God when I think it's almost like the dopamine or whatever that happens in my brain when you hear moving music. And so I have to be careful not to fall in love with how I feel listening to the music instead of falling in love with the Father. That's just something in my own baggage that I have to navigate. But William Augusto especially writes albums that are like 10 or 12 hours long, and each track is 1 hour. And so those are really good for long walks or extended times of solitude. And the last thing with this is I try not to listen to these artists and their songs unless I'm stepping into times of solitude and silence with God. I try not to listen to them when I'm writing or typing because I want to keep the tone and the vibe of that music to be exclusive to that time with God. It just helps me out. That's probably just a me thing, but that might be helpful as a caution for you if you start listening to them while you're driving and while you're cooking and while you're writing. It may actually lose its luster or power as a tool to kind of jolt you back into just being still and present with God. Now, so far we've got just using silence as a hack to jolt you back into some spiritual disciplines. The Lectio 365 app is great. Simplifying journaling and giving yourself permission to keep it simple. Four is instrumental music that stirs the spirit. And the last practical tool that I use to surrender to Jesus daily is set a bedtime alarm. Obviously, I'm a big advocate for spending time with God in the morning. I think there's a clear biblical precedent for that. We see it talked about by Paul. We see it throughout the Psalms and the Proverbs. We see it modeled by Jesus. My Bible even has a sticker on it that says, support your local sunrise, because for me, just my time with God and meeting with him is so rich in the morning. But the truth is, a great time with God tomorrow morning begins with the decisions you make tonight. I'm going to say it again. A great time with God tomorrow morning begins with the decisions you make tonight. And something that has time and time again come back to kick me in the butt is this practice of setting a bedtime alarm on my phone that forces me to come face to face with the decisions I make in the evening that impact the richness and quality of my time with God in the morning. Because when my bedtime alarm goes off on my phone telling me, hey, now's the time when you need to go upstairs and get ready for bed, it forces me to put down my phone. It forces me to not play another episode. It forces me to turn off the NFL, even though I have a player in my fantasy football team playing that night. And it forces me just to own the fact that oftentimes the quality of my presence with God in the morning is my own doing and dictated by the decisions I make the night before. What I choose to eat, what I choose to drink, how late I choose to stay up, how quickly do I put my phone away, all those things. So setting a bedtime alarm is a simple, or setting an alarm for going to bed might be a better way to put it. That has just been a simple, practical thing that helps jolt me back into these practices of surrender when my life goes sideways. So the five tools, start with silence, download Lectio 365, journal your emotions, and just set the bar low for yourself. Give yourself grace. Leverage music that moves you, and set an alarm for when you need to go to bed. These are five tools I use to surrender to Jesus that keep me grounded as seasons of chaos and transition come and go. And so again, if you're feeling stuck, or you just need a spark, or you want to add a practice or two to add some depth to your time with Jesus, I hope at least one of these can help you take on that posture and pace of Jesus as the demands of the world keep calling over and over again, so that you can have rich and rewarding rhythms with a God who loves you. As always, I'd love for you to hit me up if you have questions or subjects you'd like us to explore on the show. You can hit me up at my website, jonathanmoynihan.com, or you can DM me on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan. But for now, I hope you're well. I hope you're in good health and fighting the good fight to surrender to Jesus courageously. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you guys next week.